Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a vision-free big book study. My name is Rick J. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. Today we resume our study of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works on page 65, the second paragraph, beginning with, we were usually as definite and reading through all three columns in all the examples, and we will be commenting on all four examples. Today's readers are Jen T. and the 12 Steps, Karen W., the 12 Traditions. Our big book readers are Ashley F. in the text, Kathy S. on page 164, and Nancy P. as our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Chris W., and our second hour moderator is Christine G. The share IDs for Monday, December 16th, 2024, are 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 21,997. That's 21,997. And a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21,998. That's 21,998. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hey, good morning, Rick. This is Jen P. calling from New Jersey. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jen. I'll now ask Karen W. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Karen W., a compulsive overeater from Katy, Texas. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to a compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Karen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 again to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter How It Works on page 65. The second paragraph, beginning with, we were usually as definite, and reading through all three columns in each example, and we will be commenting on all four examples. I will now ask Karen W. to begin reading. Karen, hit star 1 to unmute, please.
Hey, Rick. It's Ashley F., and I was thinking I was in text.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. I put the wrong name on my script.
Okay. Deal.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, sorry about
Ashley,
that.
That's okay. Ashley F., recovered, not cured in Kentucky, compulsive overeater. We were usually as definite as this example. I'm resentful at Mr. Brown, the cause, his attention to my wife, hold my wife of my mistress, Brown may get my job at the office, affects my sex relations, self-esteem, fear, sex relations, self-esteem, fear, security, self-esteem, fear. I'm resentful at Mrs. Jones, the cause, she snubbed me. She committed her husband for drinking. He's my friend. She's a gossip. Affects my personal relationship, self-esteem, fear. I'm resentful at my employer, the cause, unreasonable, unjust, overbearing, threatens to fire me for drinking and padding my expense account. It affects my self-esteem, fear, security. I'm resentful at my wife, misunderstands and nags, likes Brown, wants house put in her name, affects my pride, personal, sex relations, fear, security. Well, no shortage of material in here to talk and think about, remembering that we're in the chapter of How It Works, and what this all means to me now is that I'm in the hush and trust section, the hush interest, because on page 58, it works, which basically means the means by which I am going to get the result that I want, which is the spiritual awakening that's supposedly promised, even though at the time seemed absurd to me. And it's the work, what I have to do, the activity, the effort, what I've got to do to get that result. And what this is saying is that the path that's laid out before me involves just writing down this list. Reminds me of, you know, I've done hiking in many places. One of the places is a country. I didn't even speak their language. There was no part of me that thought, I'm not just going to follow. I'm just going to follow behind this human who's taking me to the top of this mountain. Period. Non-negotiable. Done. And that's the section that we're in here. I also noticed today as I was looking at this that it says we're going to be definite. We were usually as definite. That means clear, true. I had a real problem with true in this column. Clear, true, real, and undeniable. It was easy for me and still is easy for me to want to put in some of my beliefs that are possibly incorrect, like she's a nut, for example. Like, no, that could be debatable in my opinion, right? And then resentful, meaning I am full of bitterness. I have a belief that I've been treated unfairly. And what has that made happen in me? Like, what made that bitterness happen is the cause. Like, what made that bitterness happen? And then what does it affect? So what does that event make change in me? And it's, you know, one of those, I've got a list of self-esteem, security, ambition, personal relations, sex relations. I got five things to choose from. And my experience here is that it comes down to, it affects me, 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 and me in some way, just like on page 62 tells us, that is deadly for me.
Just a reminder.
Thank you, Rick. I get to write this list of, I'm bitter at this person, this situation, this institution, because this reason, and it hurts my, pick one of the five, hush and trust. Thank you all.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Ashley. All right, before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So, if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name, first initial, to get on the share list. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Please, Tom B. from Virginia.
Joanne B. from Vermont.
Okay, I heard Lisa B. from Virginia and Joanne from Vermont.
Bonnie B.
Judith
from Florida.
R. Vermont.
All right, Bonnie B. Florida. Who was the other, who was from Vermont? The other one,
Judith R.
Judith. All right, and was there also a Joanne B.? I thought
yeah,
I heard Joanne.
Joanne. Joanne B. Like boy, Vermont.
Okay. All right. So Lisa B., Joanne B., Bonnie B., Judith R. And if I got your first initial last name wrong, you can correct me, you know, when you introduce yourself. All right, who else would like to share? Okay, this was easy. All right, we'll get
Lee
some more
H.
names in a little bit. Sorry, who was that?
Lee H. from Tennessee.
Lee. Okay, Lee.
And Ken
Anybody
W.
Else?
H.
Ken W. H. Got you, Ken. All right. Anybody else wanting to get on? This is the time to do it. All right. So, Lisa B., you're up first, followed by Joanne B. Go ahead, Lisa.
Great. Thank you so much, Rick. And good morning, everybody. My name is Lisa B., and I'm in Virginia, and I am a compulsive overeater. So, this list, what this stands out to me is that it is a list. So, it's supposed to be concise, short, to the point. There's no wordy paragraphs or explanations under the cause. And I know for me, when I started writing out my first list, I got very wordy. It was almost essay-like with colorful descriptions of the cause. And really what I was trying to do was sell you on why am I angry? And you would be too if under the circumstances. And so the trouble with that is that getting wordy and descriptive allows room, at least in this compulsive overeater brain, for rationalization, stories, alibis, the potential and the temptation to embellish the truth. And these are all character flaws that I have as a compulsive overeater. So when I was doing this exercise, my sponsor pointed out to me, let's try to scale this back. Let's just stick to the simplistic facts of what you're trying to say is the cause and the examples. And it's just very important to be deliberate when making the list. Stick to the facts, keep it simple. And what that does is that winds up keeping me very honest. Also, I'm out of denial. And then I'm more prone later to see what my part really is in all of my relationship resentments. And thank you for listening, and good to be here, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Lisa B. from Virginia. Joanne B., you are up next, followed by Bonnie B. And just remember to include where you're calling from, guys.
Good morning. This is Joanne B., calling in from Vermont. I'm a compulsive overeater. I remember I'm a graduate of another program, and I remember the first few times I read this part of the big book and thought how odd it seemed and how archaic the language was. But like the previous speaker just said, it's very plain and simple. And I'm working at a job. I'm in my third year at this particular school. And the first year I was there, I did not have a program. I was still using food. And boy, was I affected by all the people around me. And this person doesn't like me. This person, you know, I was very affected by what I thought people thought of me. And, you know, I finally got abstinent and started working the program the following year. And boy, what a difference that made going into this job. I was more comfortable, but also I was able to see my part in things and was able to look at some of those character defects that really are the cause for me, my discomfort, and that affects my relationships with everybody, like my people-pleasing and my approval-seeking and my fear that people don't like me or don't think I don't have what it takes. For example, I was a new teacher. I was so full of fear, and, you know, going through the steps and going through making a list and looking at everything in black and white on a piece of paper, talking about it to my sponsor, you know, it really gave me a good window into all those things that about myself that were really affecting these relationships. And today, I'm much more comfortable in my own skin, and I understand that people are people and they are flawed, and so am I. We're all in this together, and but I look at my part in things as much as possible, and I don't point a finger at people because I know you never know what people are going through. And I have better relationships, way better relationships. So this, you know, this program really works. To eat over things. I don't have to be fearful. Not to say I'm never fearful, but I have a, you know, I have a toolkit. And
just a reminder.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Thanks so much, Joanne B. from Vermont. Bonnie B., you're up next, followed by Judith R.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service, Rick. Thanks for the shares. Bonnie B., living in Florida, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. Delighted to be here. When I came into program, this step was terrifying to me. And the reason it was terrifying was because there was so much in that column 1, 2, and 3 that I had to explain to everyone. And so it took forever to go through it because it was a book, literal book. And as one of the shares already indicated, why did I want to spend so much time in column 1 and 2? Because I wanted you to understand how mistreated I was and the right that I had to be where I'm at. And so that when I got to column 4, you'd have a lot of sympathy for me. But this is what I know now. I mean, I absolutely love the 10 step. My problem is in column 1, 2, and 3. It's my perception of something. The big book says fancied or real. Most often it's fancied, if I'm honest. And the solution is in column 4. And the answer for me is bullet points. Everything has to be bullet points as fast as I can. If I have lots of words, I'm in the disease. Less is always better for me. When I get into lots of words, when my brain wants me to get into lots of words, it's me telling you my story, and that is my problem. It's all about me. And so for me is where I tell you my part. I go through 1, 2, and 3 as fast as I can, and when I take 10 steps, if people get, like, you know, bogged down in that first and second column, I will ask them to pause for a second, and then I'll try to reframe it if possible. Because I think for me, again, the more detail I give, the more room there is for my disease to justify what's going on. And to live in that space for me equals death, because I don't really have an eating issue. I have a thinking disease. And as my thoughts go, so go I. You know, I was in the business of much to do about, and you can put me in the blank. And it's just, it's not the MO today. When I'm restless, irritable, or discontent, when I lose my peace, this is how I know. When I lose my peace, I know that I've disconnected from my Creator. I'm focusing once again on something that I should not be focusing on. And so I pivot, a very small movement. I lean in. I listen. I look up. I toss it back to God, that third step prayer, and then I, with intentionality, be of service to someone else. Because I can't have two thoughts in my head at the same time. And so this was so overwhelming to me the first time I went through it, and I absolutely love it now, and it's because I made too much of it. It's supposed to be quick and bullet points and just get down to the details and give it back to God. So grateful for each of you. Thanks for letting me share, and I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Florida. Judith R., you're up next, followed by Lee H. Go ahead, Judith. Judith Starr, please hit star 1.
Thank you, Rick. Judith R. in Vermont, gratefully recovered. This page is such a crucial page in our book. And until I found Vision for You, I really didn't understand how to do the fourth step the Big Book way. I loved the Big Book for the past 40 years, but I didn't understand page 65, 66, and 67, because I didn't know that there was a fourth column. And so I did it, all the mistakes that we all did. And we all know that there's a great love of our book the way it is, and we don't want to change it. But I've been wishing since 2012, when I found Vision, that we could put the fourth column on page 65. So I finally screwed up my courage and called AA, and they put me through to the man whose bailiwick that was, and he was very interested. He said, "We all know that we don't want to change the big book, but this is not changing the big book. This is adding something that's already there." So he said, "Go for it." He said, "Find some people in AA." He was very open to OA, but he did want he did think it would be more effective if somebody who was a double winner would broach the subject. So I've been looking for some AA folks who might want to talk to him about, and he said your timing is perfect because we're just going into the next edition. So I was very thrilled because I was thinking, oh, I probably missed the boat. But anyway, that's my excitement, is that maybe, because, you know, with the new technology, it shouldn't be too hard to put the fourth column on that page. So that's my hope, and I am looking for people who might agree. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Judith R. from Vermont. All right, Lee H., you're up next, followed by Ken W.H. Go ahead, Lee.
Well, good morning, and thank you so much for your service. This is Lee H., a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee, and I just had to speak up on this page. This is really where the change started for me. This page, reading it, was so foreign to me at first. It was like I couldn't understand what exactly are they trying to get me to do. And I, too, kind of started writing more than I really needed to and was advised to just keep things to just, you know, a phrase, two or three words, and not, you know, write a book about the cause of my resentment or whatever. And these causes here in this example are pretty major things. And I looked at it and I thought, well, I'm not having these kind of problems. But what I did find out working with the sponsor, and I've been through this fourth step several times, was that it didn't take something major like, you know, my husband having a mistress or, you know, losing a job. It could be, you know, the resentments could be just anxiety over something. I remember writing down, you know, I'm resentful because my son doesn't call me when I call him. He doesn't call me back. And then, you know, getting to the, what does it affect? That is deep work. That was really deep work for me, because that's really what caused me to eat, was the way something simple as my son not calling me, that would cause me to, you know, hurt myself with food or something else. So, you know, it's just getting down to that selfishness that I wanted what I wanted. You know, I wanted it fixed. And this is the beginning of the work that my higher power started doing in me, because then I had to look at some other things that, you know, the turnaround is, what was I doing? You know, what was I making up? And I know we're going to talk about that tomorrow, but that was the beginning of the deep work that my higher power is starting to do in me to change me and make me become, or help me to become, the person that I really wanted to be. So thanks so much for listening, and I look forward to the other shares.
Thank you, Lee H. from Tennessee. Ken W.H., you're up next, and then we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Ken.
Thanks, Rick. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. Glad to be here today. In another program, I did this step way with it a long time ago, and I was not invested in it. I didn't really follow the instructions. I just got through it as quickly as I could, moved on. Then I got myself into OA, and I bought all the literature that there was to buy, I think, and I answered every single one of those questions in step 4 of the OA 12 and 12, every single question. It took pages and pages and pages. And I still kept eating compulsively. And I was just trying to check off the list the next thing I had to do to move through the program, waiting for the spiritual awakening to happen, thinking it was just going to come poof. Here it comes. Well, that didn't happen. So it wasn't until I finally got really honest and got into vision and started working out of the big book again from the beginning, from the title page, that when it came around to this part of the big book again, I was directed by a friend in this program to just do what it says on the page. You don't have to go get all kinds of sheets and make charts and all kinds of arrows and circles and everything else. You just do what it says. And the thing that made it so difficult for me is I didn't think I had the right to have a resentment. My behavior was so bad, my self-esteem was so low, that I wasn't allowed to have a resentment. It took a long time to be able to put down on the list a lot of people, but especially my wife. I couldn't, because of everything I'd done. So anyway, just do what it says on the page is what he told me to do. I did it, and it worked, and I would recommend it highly to anyone else who's at that point. And that's all I got, Rick. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter How It Works on page 65, the second paragraph, beginning with, we were usually as definite and reading through all three columns in each example and commenting on all four examples. And though we value everyone's experience, you share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial to get on the share list. Who else would like to share on what was read today?
Maria E.
Maria E.?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Who else?
Loretta H.
Gotcha, Loretta. Good time to get on and share for those who haven't shared in a while or haven't shared at all.
Chris W. from Nashville.
Lucy B. Jane F. from New Hampshire.
Lucy. Who is that from New Hampshire?
Jane F.
Jane?
Yeah.
Jane F.? Okay.
Thank you.
Here's
Lucy B.
So
from
far.
Florida.
Lucy B.?
Yes.
Okay. I've got Maria E., Loretta H., Chris W., Lucy B., Jane F., and Lucy B. Anybody else? All right, so we're going to go with this list, and then we'll see how we are at the end for more names as time allows. Maria E., you're first, followed by Loretta H. Please remember to include where you're calling from when you introduce yourself. Go ahead, Maria.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. I'm Maria E., calling from Cape Cod, Mass. Thank you so much for your service, and I'm so grateful to this meeting and everybody who makes it possible. Thousands of us all over the world. It's just a fabulous, fabulous meeting. And I rarely share, but I've been listening for a number of years. So I love this. I point to this page as being one of the key differences. I came to Big Book after 20 years in mainstream OA, and I did have a fair amount of recovery, had done the steps many times, but not the basic and simple approach that the Big Book offers. And you know, as was shared by the lead chair, which was very helpful to me, a lot of my inventory, you know, wasn't causes and conditions. We weren't as definite as this example. It was a lot of storytelling, and not that there weren't germs of truth in it, but it just was not clear and simple and definite the way this is. And, you know, we'll find out tomorrow or in the next few days the part that I was very busy getting at in my first round of inventories before I did the big book. And it was, but the world and its people are often quite wrong, but that's as far as most of us got. And it may well be that they're wrong, but it really doesn't matter. And so when I got to big book, my guide, my sponsor, you know, did encourage me to just do exactly the way it's laid out here with the columnar fashion and everything that was affected. And it was amazing. You know, I mean, I did have quite a list, even though I had been in recovery for a while and maintaining, you know, I don't want to throw shade on the prior recovery, but it just wasn't the depth of big book. I often describe it as, you know, it was a cleaner house, but it wasn't the ServPro way that the big book gets me through. And what surprised me in the affects my category is that fear was always actually at the base of a resentment. You know, and later I learned that there may not be a resentment associated with fear, but every resentment has a fear. And that was very eye-opening to me, so that while my defects were mostly resentments and fears, at the base of it all was this fear, you know. So it's just wonderful. I can't say enough about what this did for my recovery, and it was, I think what's really coming to me is it just was inescapable how I was at the root of everything. You know, it was easy for me to point the finger at other people and these events, but when I was able to look at myself, which the book certainly helps me with, as did my sponsor, it made all the difference in being able to continue on with the balance of the steps. So thanks again for your service, and very pleased that I got to share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Maria E. from Massachusetts. All right, Loretta H., you're up next, followed by Chris W. Go ahead, Loretta.
Good morning, Rick, and good morning, all. Along with my precious God, you are saving my life. I live in North Carolina, and I am recovered for today. Okay, so definite, explicit, precise, well-defined, okay? So as other people have shared, my first one was a story from, it could have been a Bible. Anyway, God, thank you. I've worked this many more times and learned that it's only writing it to write, R-I-G-H-T it. And in that story, I must keep that second column, 19 words or less, the righteousness, my propaganda, all the stuff that I have positioned in my self-esteem, my sex, all that stuff is not necessary. It's just the facts, ma'am, as Dragnet says. And when I can see the patterns that way, very simply, very precisely, I can go down. I actually, when we do it in the group I do it with, we actually just do the first column and second column. And then we go down the third column and see the patterns of how that affected me. And because it's about me is not what this is about. It's about me understanding who I am and how I must understand who I am so that I can become who God wants me to be. And we also, in the group I study in, we do a fifth column where we see the end blocks. So that third column and fourth column also have to be very simple so that I can see the patterns and not see the story, because once I put the story in it, that is my propaganda, and that is my problem. So with that, I pass. Thank you. Thank you all. Enjoy this process. I love doing it. It's such a wonderful world of finding out who God wants you to be. And when you find that out, you find out who you are. And that is amazing. And then you can walk through the arch of freedom. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Chris W., you're up next, followed by Lucy B. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, this is Chris W., Chris with a K from Nashville, Tennessee. And I wish I'd have wrote everybody's names down because I could just say ditto, ditto, ditto to every single name that of the people that just shared. And I realized I've never noticed before that if someone's unmuted and walking, so it's not really that it's 19 words maximum like what I always hear because I'm looking at it, and these are just bullet points. If I had seen the bullets, I might have caught this sooner, but it's I could have 50 bullet points on someone and not have to tell the story. And I, like several people said, that they told a story so that people would, you know, sympathize with me. And that's what I did. And I've probably done 20 inventories or more in my lifetime, I think like 10 in the last 4 years. But it's only recently that I saw that I was trying to justify everything. And now it's even easier if I just think I'm just putting bullet points, and it can be one word, 5 words. And I didn't even realize, like someone said about the fourth column that's not on the chart in the big book. And I looked at it and it's like, that's true. But that is one of the most important columns for me to look at when I'm doing a fourth step. And I've got one that I did yesterday, a 10 step, and I'm going to redo it with the bullet because I didn't really get the relief. And I'm just excited that even at 72, I can learn new things, things that I just hadn't even recognized before. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Chris W. from Tennessee. Lucy B., you're up next, followed by Jane F. Go ahead, Lucy. Lucy B., hit star one to unmute.
Good morning. I'm Lucy B. from Florida. And I want to talk about two things. First would be intimidation and then grace, both related to this process. When I first came to OA and I heard people talk about this process, I was just beside myself with fear. And when I got to the process, I think for me, you know, I had stuck food in my mouth every single time I felt a feeling. So when it came to me to write down my resentments, honestly, I didn't think I was resentful. I didn't think I was angry. I didn't see it. Like a fish doesn't know it's wet. I didn't know I had these strong feelings because I was so used to them. So that's where the grace comes in, right? Whether I'm the sponsor or the sponsee with this step, you know, for me, it's been very important to understand that, especially for the newcomer. You know, it took me writing out these stories for me to understand them and see my resentment. And I was encouraged to journal about some of these things that I wanted to talk about and talk about and talk about. Do that in the journal and then be really clear and really concise and really short in the fourth step, so that I can see those patterns. So, yeah, thank you, everyone. Today I've learned so much, and I love this process. Pass.
All right. Thank you, Lucy B. from Florida. Jane F., you're up next, followed by Lucy B. Go ahead, Jane.
Yes, good morning, everybody. My name is Jane F. S is in Sparky. And thank you and I'm in New Hampshire, and I am recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm a real compulsive overeater, and I had to surrender to that fact. It's taken me 15 and a half years to really surrender to that fact, and I'm just grateful that God has brought me to that place today. And so what really stuck out to me today, and I keep hearing, fear. And so 15 and a half years ago when I came into the 12-step program and way of life, I wasn't fearful. I said, I'm not scared, because I thought I was so tough and could manage everything and control everything, but I was riddled with fear. And, you know, for me back then, I was a runner. So I remember someone said to me, you know, F everything and run, or face everything and recover. And I am so grateful that my God, my higher power, my creator over the years has kept me coming back and has done for me what I could not do for myself and has evolved what fear is for me. I'm riddled with fear, and you know, because I can't control things, and I know that I need to let go and trust and rely on my God to show me this. And so when I came through the steps this time and did this, like it's been said before, short and sweet and to the point, you know. And it's about looking at my patterns and seeing how these things affect me, how they affect my life and how they influence my behaviors and my thoughts. And my mind is just so messed up, and I have to get out of that and give it to God and walk with God. And my sponsor has taught me, she's led me and is guiding me and putting my hand in God's hand. It's when I surrender and accept everything for what it is and look at my part in it. And just this morning I was riddled with overwhelming just thoughts, because I'm trying to get ready to move down to Virginia for four months. And I did a 10-step, and I'm not great at doing these, but I'm learning. And it was fear. It was the fear of not getting out the door, the fear of this, the fear of my partner not doing it my way, not doing the list that I want him to do and doing everything in my timeline. And, you know, I just let it all go, gave it to someone else, gave it to God, and asked for God's guidance today. And when I look at that, my life in that way today, it's just so much easier to walk in God's grace and to see and be aware of God and who God wants me to be today. So thank you for everyone's share. Yes, ditto, always on this line. You guys are saving my life. I think we're saving a lot of people's lives in this world by just sharing our experience, strength, and hope. So thanks for letting me share, and thank you for everybody who helped me one day at a time. I pass.
Thank you, Jane S. from New Hampshire. All right, Lucy B., you're up next, and we'll maybe have room for more.
I was the Lucy B before. I already shared. Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Gosh.
That's okay.
All right. Who else would like to share? We've got a few minutes here. Maybe take two names, and then we'll see where we're at.
Blanca
Alexis
B. F. from Central Florida.
I heard Blanca B. from Florida. And what was the other name?
Alexis F.
All right. Go ahead, Blanca, and then Alexis.
Hi, good morning, brothers and sisters in program, and thank you, moderator, for taking this meeting. I did want to contribute something that has been, you know, on my mind as I, you know, continue to heal in this program. As someone said, she said at 72, you're still learning new things. I will be 72 soon, and I am still learning new things. I had tremendous, my sexual life, my sexual behaviors, that has just been mentioned briefly so far, and I know they get further into it. I had a tremendous, tremendous difficulty. It was a challenge in my life to learn how to incorporate sex and love, you know, and how to respect that. As a young, you know, a young woman growing up, I had no models really as a child of what healthy relationships were. Most of the women were divorced, and my mother never spoke of sex to any of us. And it's heartbreaking, you know, looking back on it now, because it's so important that as we grow up, we are able to, our parents talk to us about these things, and my mother could not. And I'm sure she had a lot, she was very shame-based about things in her life, and I'm sure that was one of them. So as a result, I grew up not respecting the sanctity of relationships. And that has just, of course, my relationships ended in disaster because I didn't know how to respect myself, my partner, my love, which is so crucial, was so crucial in my development. However, as they say, I am not responsible for, you know, my disease, but I am responsible for getting better. But as I look back now, this book is so spot on when it starts, when it talks about love and sex and how that has damaged me, you know. And but I continue to learn and I continue to put one foot in the other and stay in this program. Thanks to all of you. Thank you so much. And I'll pass.
Oh, thank you so much. And if you could please give us your name and where you're calling from.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, if you could please give us your name and where you were calling from before we move on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Blanca BG from Central Florida. My apologies.
All right. Thanks, Blanca BG from Florida. All right, Alexis. You're up next, and please give your first initial and where you're calling from.
This is Alexis F. from New Jersey. I remember reading that this is the perception, the first column. Not the first column with the names, but the second column with the causes. It's our perceptions of people, what we pick out about them. And the third column is our character defects in a way. I used to have sponsees write down the character defects as well. There were five columns and my part in it. And writing it down on paper takes it out of ourselves. And saying it to another person is another way of making ourselves aware of it. And I remember in The Keys of the Kingdom, she had a resentment and she came across a magazine that said, if you have a resentment, pray for their health, happiness, and prosperity and everything that you want for yourself, for them. And I've had a long-term resentment against someone in my family. And I can tell by the thoughts that come to my head how many there are and how often there are, how that is dwindling. So I noticed that this week I only had one sentence and I was able to dismiss it. So, you know, I feel like that's spiritual growth. And that's all I have to say. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much, Alexis S. from New Jersey. And would someone else like to have a shorter share to take us out? We got room for someone for about a minute and a half if anybody wants it.
So me and Jane in Delaware.
Virginia N.
Okay, who is that from Delaware?
I'm Virginia N.
Virginia N. Delaware.
It was Samia J. in Delaware.
Oh, well, okay, go ahead and please introduce yourself again you go ahead and take us out.
All right, thanks so much for your service. Thank you, everyone, for all your shares. It's Samia J. in Delaware, compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to add my 2 cents into the conversation that when I'm working fourth step, I sometimes feel like I don't have any resentments. I feel like no one bothers me. I feel like nothing angers me or frustrates me, as has already been said. And that's from being blocked off. If I have a belly full of food or if I'm soothing myself in any way, shape, or form, I'm not going to be able to accurately, you know, I'm not going to be able to accurately say what the problem is or And that's okay. I'm just learning that that is okay to do what I can, do the very best that I can. But I do want to be as clear as possible before undertaking this step. And that was something that I learned. I've done so many fourth steps where I really had no clue what I was writing or what I was talking about. None of it made any sense. But without being abstinent and cleared of the effects that the food provides, I just noticed that this step was not very helpful. So I just wanted to add that. And thank you so much for letting me share. Everyone, enjoy your day.
Oh, thanks so much, Amia J from Delaware. Okay. All right. Thank you for a fabulous meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, December 17th, 2024, is 22,000. That's it, 22,000. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Make sure I get the right names here. Well, Kathy, yes, please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Rick. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.